Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are approaching a blessed feast again. Seems like all we're doing is feasting on the blessings of God that we receive in Jesus Christ. We just had our great feast of the Ascension this past Thursday, and then before that, 40 days before that, we celebrated the most glorious of all the feasts, the resurrection of our Lord. And now this coming Sunday, we are going to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon us, upon the Church of Jesus Christ. And all these blessings come to us through Jesus Christ. It is, obviously, it's through Christ. Christ is the one who died and rose again. And why did he do that? Because he took upon himself our humanity, so that we as humans could pass with him into death and destroy death and with Christ be raised in glory. He did this for us. And then in the Ascension, he was raised in glory to return to the right hand of God the Father, a glory that he had before the world was even created. And there too, it's for us because he took upon himself our humanity. And with his rising in glory, we, our humanity, rose with him. And so now that humanity is seated with Christ at the right hand of God in glory. We are glorified in Jesus Christ. So we are not only victors over sin and hell and death in the resurrection, but we share in his glory and his ascension. Jesus spoke here in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, which, by the way, is often referred to as the high priestly prayer. It's the prayer which Jesus prayed to the Father for us. Jesus, having ascended into heaven, does not just sit there, but he continues a ministry for us as our high priest, and he intercedes for us. So when we ask the saints to intercede for us, we are doing nothing more or less than what God's people have always done. They have asked each other to pray for each other. And we believe that the saints pray for us. But the prayers of the saints, all of our prayers, go to the Father through the Son. He is the one mediator between God and man. He is the ladder. Jacob, remember, he had the dream about the ladder, which the angels descended and ascended from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. Jesus is that ladder. The angels ascend up and down that ladder, and so do we. But certainly we pray for one another as intercessors. But Christ is the mediator. He is the one who intercedes for us with the Father. I just want to point out that in this high priestly prayer, Jesus first prays for himself. He prays that God would take him back to glory so that he might share the glory that he had with the Father from all eternity. That's Jesus' prayer for himself. And then in the sixth verse, he says that I pray also for those whom you have given me, that is, for the disciples. And later on in that chapter, Jesus says, I do not pray only for these, my disciples here, but for all those who will believe in me through their word. So as our intercessor, Jesus prays for us. I don't know if you notice this, but many of the hymns that were sung for our service are already anticipating Pentecost. So we have, as always we have the hymns of the resurrection. We don't have any service without singing the praises of the resurrection. And then we also have the hymns of the feast. And last night we sang many of the hymns of the ascension. And now we are singing the hymns of Pentecost. Jesus asked that God would protect his people that God would protect those whom he had given him out of the world. The world attacks us in many different ways. One of the ways that the world attacks us is through persecution. Our lives are threatened, and many of the saints lost their lives in faithfulness to God. Jesus prays that God's Spirit will give them power. But there's another way that the church in her life is threatened, and that probably is even worse than from outside, how the world attacks us. It's how the world and the spirit of the world gets into the church, and from within, our own leaders will turn against the gospel and start to teach their own ideas of what is good and right. If you listened well to the epistle reading this morning, you heard the Apostle Paul, and I just want to make a note here, that epistle reading was from Acts chapter 20. It started out with a verse where the Apostle Paul said, I can't stay here in Asia because I have my mind and heart set on going back to Jerusalem for Pentecost. Isn't that something, how the church brings that in? Pentecost is so important. And so then he goes on and he stops in Ephesus. And like I said, he didn't want to stay in Asia. So he sailed past Ephesus and went down into Miletus. And he called for the elders of the church of Ephesus to come down and meet him. That way he could just deal with the leaders and give the message he wanted to give and encourage them and warn them and then go on because he wanted to be with the church at Pentecost. Well, what does the Apostle Paul say to the elders of the church of Ephesus? He warns them. And what is the warning that he gives them? Is it so much the persecution of the Jews from without? He has told about how the Jews have persecuted me. Every step I take, they're persecuting me. They try to stop me. They humiliate me. They beat me. Is that what he says to the elders? He says, beware of the wolves. He said, some people are going to come from outside. And he doesn't say that they're going to hurt them physically. But they're going to come with doctrine. They're going to come with messages that you might like to hear that sound good, but they're not the truth. And he said, some even of you, some of the leaders here are going to turn away and try to lead people away from the gospel of the truth to follow themselves. The Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit is going to bring to the mind of the disciples and the apostles of the church all that Jesus has taught them. He's going to give them power to teach and preach faithfully. Do you remember that last week when we read the gospel of the man born blind, how the Pharisees turned against Jesus? They said to this man who's born blind, who do you think this Jesus is? Well, first he said, well, I really don't know. And then he said, well, he must be a prophet. And then, of course, the Pharisees said, you don't know a thing. We're the experts here. That man is a sinner. All along through Jesus' ministry, he was dogged by the Pharisees who challenged him and said, who do you think you are? You can't be of God. The same thing happened here. The Apostle Paul says, you're going to have people come in and they're going to challenge the gospel. And that same thing happened in the life of the church. We're celebrating today the First Ecumenical Council, the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council. There was a priest of Alexandria, Egypt, whose name was, I'd like to get some help here, who was the first great heretic, terrible heretic, who attacked the church and the purity of the doctrine and the life of the church? What was his name? Arius. And Arius was a tremendous speaker, He was a great thinker. He had a huge following. Matter of fact, at one point, it was like the whole world, the whole church had gone after Arians. More Arians than Orthodox Christians. But Arius attacked the life of the church. And how did he do that? With a whip? Did he come with machine guns? No. He came with a beautiful sounding message. But he said, you know what? There's only one God. Please, Jesus, his son, is the greatest of all creatures. And certainly God created the world through Jesus, through the Word. But that Word isn't God. Only the Father is God. And certainly we ought to honor Jesus. We can even worship him. But you worship him as like a demagogue, as this greatest of all, as the one underneath the Father through whom he created the world. But he is not God. So the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, who met in 325, came together and they said, the gospel that we have preached from the beginning, that comes from the apostles, all the way through the life of the church until now, knows Jesus as God with us. He is God. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, did the fathers of the church at the Ecumenical Council of Nicaea say, we're going to tell you exactly how this all is? I'm going to tell you. They said, we don't understand all this. It's a mystery, but we don't deny the faith just because we can't understand it. It's so profound, it's so deep. All we can do is bear witness to it. Because we know that in Jesus, God has come to us. And that in him, we have salvation. I like what Bishop Callistus Ware says about what happens at the councils. And this is true of all the ecumenical councils. It's not so much that the fathers of the church are clearly defining for us every last detail of the truth. What they're doing is setting a fence around the truth and saying, don't dare you pass and claim something more or less than this. He is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is God. There is one God. How can that be? It's a mystery. But it's our salvation. That's what we stand on. We don't gain anything by ridiculing those who can't say that. I have found in Protestantism, I'm going to say this much, I have found in Protestantism, and even among some in the historical church, whether it be the Roman Church or the Orthodox Church, who want to say, you know, that's what the fathers taught. And they really did teach that, they believed it, but we don't know. Who knows? I had a professor say, look out the window. What do you see? How do you know what you see out there? Skepticism. Agnosticism has no place in the life of the church. Mysticism? Mystery? Yes, it's at the heart of our faith. But skepticism, agnosticism, saying, we don't know. We do know God. We know God. In Jesus Christ our Savior. And he lives within us by his Holy Spirit. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will come and make real to us God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And just one last word. It's not enough that we just think it up here and say, oh yeah, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. We have to believe it here in our hearts. It has to be the God whose life is lived within us. We love this God. We love Jesus. We adore the Holy Spirit. We obey the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? Because He loves us, and we in response sing praises to Him, and we give our life to Him in service, in gratitude, and witness to the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.